Welcome to today's session. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. We are in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. We are continuing here with a deeper revelation or verse by verse study of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time, we are picking this thing up here in Luke 9 verse 37. If you have not listened to the previous sessions, please do so, because a lot of material has been covered out of the Gospel of Luke. So this is a continuation of the teaching. And please, I highly recommend you listen to the entire session so you can get the best out of it. And thereafter, go back and listen to the other sessions. And if you've not listened to the other teachings out of the Gospel of Luke, Mark, and Matthew, please do so, so you can get a richer understanding of the ministry of Jesus Christ. This information is just so critical for you to skim through it, okay? Awesome. Let us begin here. Luke 9, verse 37. What is the gist of these upcoming verses? The Lord Jesus, again, would exert his authority over the demons, okay? So, and he would predict his death again for the second time. So we pick it up here, Luke 9, verse 37. The next day, meaning the day after the transfiguration, which I discussed in the previous session, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus and the three selected disciples, the ones whom he selected, James, John, and Peter, had just gone up the mountain, and these disciples had experienced the Shekinah glory of God. And now the next day they are coming down and they met a crowd, just a crowd, just complete opposite from what they had enjoyed the previous day. Just imagine that. So now a large crowd met them. Verse 38, a man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him." Verse 40, I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. Okay, whoa, this is a mouthful. So right away we are learning that these seizures or convulsions that this boy was having was demonic, because it was torturing and tormenting this young boy. So the father had brought this young boy to the other disciples of the Lord Jesus, the ones that were not with him at the transfiguration, but they could not cast out the demon. Now, before I even continued, this same content about the disciples' inability to cast out these demons is found in Matthew 17, verses 14 through 18, and then also in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, 14 through 27. And I really discussed the details why the disciples were unable to cast out these demons. I really recommend you go back and listen to one of these again, either Matthew 17, beginning there in verse 14, or out of the Gospel of Mark 9, 14. Because Luke did not provide enough details here, okay? But I'm going to add some details out of the Gospels of Matthew and Mark to give you perspective. So we go back here to verse 40. It reads, I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. So let's continue to listen to the Lord Jesus' response before I would add some clarity here. Verse 41, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you. Bring your son here. So we see how the Lord Jesus was not very happy with the disciples' inability to cast out this demon. Why? Because they had been with him for a long time. Now, this was coming towards the end of the Lord Jesus's earthly ministry here. Luke doesn't tell us, but it is safe to say approximately this is about a year and a half to even 2 years into the Lord Jesus's earthly ministry. Essentially, it was almost time for him to be crucified. And he had been with his disciples. He had sent them out to cast out demons. They had seen him cast out demons. And at this time, he wanted the disciples to act independently and do likewise, but they were unable to. Now, going to Mark's and Matthew's account, I explained this, but there were a couple of reasons why the disciples could not cast out this demonic spirit. Number one, if you were to go back and re-listen to my teachings there, I explained that, but I'm going to provide a succinct version here. The disciples were looking at the activity of the demonic spirit right there in front of them. In essence, they were seeing the boy convulse right in front of them. Boy, I am a doctor. I'm a healthcare provider. I have seen people go into convulsions right in front of me with foams coming out of their mouth. It is a very scary, frightening scene. If you've not seen anything like that, it can be frightening. So these disciples saw the manifestation of the demonic spirit throwing this young boy into convulsions, and they, looking at the natural, they panicked. They were so focused at the natural, they became so afraid. They were unable to be God dependent at that time. The disciples were unable to call upon God the Father. They were unable to put into practice what they had done before to cast out other demons. They just panicked and they couldn't do it. This is a big lesson here. And I know I'm speaking ahead of myself. If you were to go study this in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus told the disciples that they had no faith. And in accordance with Mark's Gospel, Mark recorded that the Lord Jesus told them that this kind of demonic activity only comes out through prayer. Either way, let us harmonize this. Here's the bottom line. Number one, the disciples were looking at the physical. They took their eyes off of God. They were naturally minded. Friend, this is a demonic spirit they were dealing with here. You cannot use natural means or natural abilities to cast out a demonic spirit. Demonic spirits need the infinite power from God. So these disciples, looking at this demonic activity with this boy going into convulsions, they were depending on their natural ability. They were unable to do this. That is the primary reason. And number two, because they were looking at the natural, they were unable to focus on God. Essentially, they had no faith, because faith has to come from God. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ in the here and now. It is the triune God. So they were not able to pull from the faith of God to manifest that faith. They were just depending on their human abilities, and they could not do it. No wonder the Lord Jesus told them, if you were to go back from the Gospel of Mark, that to cast out that kind of a demon, you need to pray. And some translations, I believe it's New King James, says fasting and prayer. It is the same thing. Prayer, because when you are in prayer, you are in communion with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But then during this time of the disciples, the Lord Jesus had not died. He had not been resurrected. But if these disciples had just prayed about this, just as the Lord Jesus had taught them how to pray, they would have been God conscious, and they would have quickened their faith. They would have looked at that demonic activity from the perspective of God. They would have had the boldness to cast that thing out. Okay, which is why the Lord Jesus said this type comes with prayer, because when you are praying, you become God conscious, because you're communion with God, and then your faith is quickened, and then you would see things through the lens of God and not through the lens of the physical. Okay, so that is exactly why these disciples could not cast out these demons. They were looking at the natural. They took their eyes off of God. They couldn't do it. Likewise today, friend, the practical lessons for us in the here and now is that, number one, you cannot fight demonic activities using human wisdom, using human powers, using human ways. Impossible. Satan is a spirit. He has power, although his power is limited. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. As a child of God, indwelled by the triune God, you have God's power on the inside of you. So when you are dealing with demonic activities round and about you, never rely on your own power. Never rely on your own strength. If you do that, you will fail 100%. Rather, rely on the infinite power of God. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus Christ, every demon will shrink. Okay? So when you approach demonic activities in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power and authority of the all-powerful God, you will overcome and cast out demons. Glory to God. We are blessed. Okay, so now let us pick up here. The Lord Jesus was upset, and let me say a word or two about that. Do you think that the Lord Jesus is still unhappy today when we are unable to exert our power and authority in him? Absolutely, yes. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is still not pleased when we allow Satan to toss us left and right, and then we don't call upon his name in faith, okay? So Jesus Christ is the same. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously, because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels, and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? Would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10. Okay, so again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA, because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that He will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. We move on here to verse 42. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. So apparently the father had brought the boy, and this dialogue had taken place between the father and the Lord Jesus. And even when the father was bringing the boy to the Lord Jesus, demons were acting out. Oh my goodness, that is what that verse is teaching there. And let us find out how the Lord would respond. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Verse 43, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Yes, absolutely. The greatness of God over the demonic realms. We are blessed to have that power in us so we can do likewise. We move on to the next upcoming verses here. The Lord Jesus would predict or tell his disciples for the second time about his impending death. So while everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen, we are now in verse 44. Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. So this is the second time the Lord Jesus is telling his disciples, at least out of the Gospel of Luke here, that he would be delivered to the Jewish Pharisees and elders, and they would torture him and crucify him. So the Lord Jesus is beginning to slowly but surely revealing the details of his last few months on earth to his disciples, but they still won't get it. Okay, and we are going to find out how we know that they still didn't get that yet. Okay, verse 45. But they did not understand what this meant. Exactly what I was saying. The disciples were still not getting it. They still did not understand the mission of the Messiah. And if you had listened to my previous session, I had discussed how the disciples were under the erroneous notion, like most people in the nation of Israel back then, that the Messiah is going to be a militant Messiah who would come and overtake the Roman emperor and set up his physical kingdom. So there was a disconnect between them understanding that at the first coming of the Messiah, he was coming as a humble servant. He was coming for spiritual redemption to deliver mankind of that sinful nature, to set the captives free from the hands of the devil, and to reveal the kingdom of God to mankind. And then at his second coming, he would come and establish his physical kingdom. These disciples and most of the nation of Israel, they misread the scrolls. Even though all of these had been prophesied, they selectively misread the scroll, and they were looking forward to a militant Messiah. So it was really hard for these disciples, even though they had been around the Lord Jesus Christ, they were slowly but surely getting it, as the Lord Jesus was revealing it to them slowly. Okay, so now, the Lord Jesus had told them this, they didn't understand. And then the towards the end of verse 45 said, it was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Exactly, they were afraid to ask the Lord Jesus to explain what he meant by handed over to the elders. We move on to verse 46. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Exactly what I was saying. You see, these disciples were so carnally minded. They were after positions. As I just explained, they were thinking that the Lord Jesus would set up a physical kingdom. So they were fighting who would have the greatest position, who would have the greatest place of honor in the Lord Jesus' kingdom. So they started fighting among themselves. Verse 47, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, of course, the Lord Jesus, pulling from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, knew their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. So the Lord Jesus is going to get a child from the crowd and to use that as an example to teach them about the kingdom of God, how in the kingdom of God, humility and service are priorities. So we are now in verse 48. Then he said to them, this is the Lord Jesus now, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Obviously, and this is still applicable today, whoever welcomes you as a preacher, as a Christian, and opens their heart for you to preach Christ to them, also welcomes Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. So that is what the Lord Jesus is alluding to here. Okay, moving on with the last few words of the Lord Jesus out of verse 48 there. He said, for it is the one who is least among you all who is the greatest. Exactly. So the one who is least among you, the one who has a childlike faith, the one who has humility just as a child does, the one who is dependent on God the Father just as a child, is the one who is greatest in the kingdom, okay? Because in the kingdom of God, it is humility and service that qualifies you to be great in the kingdom, not some physical means. Verse 49, Master, said John, this is John the disciple, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us. Oh, this is so typical today. We see this disciple John, the beloved John, saying that, Master, we saw somebody, you know, casting out demons, but they are not in our inner circle. Isn't that what we do today? Is that in and us mentality? Let's find out how the Lord Jesus would respond. And before I even get into the Lord Jesus' response, this is obvious that the disciples, specifically John, who brought this to Jesus' attention, said this out of jealousy. Jealousy. They had an opportunity, the other disciples had an opportunity to cast out an impure spirit. They couldn't do it. And now they are like, how come that person is doing it? So this really was out of jealousy, not having a deeper revelation about the mission of the Messiah, not knowing that Jesus Christ came to reveal himself to the world, not just to the inner circle of the 12 disciples, at least during the first century church. So let us find out about the Lord Jesus' response. There's a lot we will learn here. So we are now in verse 50, do not stop him, Jesus said, for whoever is not against you is for you. Absolutely true. Whoever is not against you, whoever is not against me is for you, is for me. In other words, today, in the here and now, when we see another church, another missionary, another ministry proclaiming Christ to the world, and there is great evidence of the manifestation of God in that ministry or church, we should not be jealous. We should not be envious. We should be glad that the kingdom of God is being spread, that the teachings about Jesus Christ is being taught. Because when another group is preaching truth from the word of God, truth meaning that they are proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and Jesus Christ is the only way to have a relationship with God the Father, and is the only Messiah. And if some of that church is preaching that the Holy Spirit is in the world, convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and if the other church or ministry is proclaiming that, There is one God in three unique persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is coming back the second time. And miracles are still happening today, that God is still in the world revealing himself to people. You see, these are the core essence of true Christianity. If you are in agreement with another group, church, about who Jesus Christ is, the triune God, there is only one way to the true living God, you should be happy, okay? Regardless of how some other church use their different idiosyncrasies or their different mannerisms to proclaim the gospel, to the extent that they are holding true to the key tenets of the faith, like I just explained, we should be glad because Christ is being proclaimed. Come on, somebody. Just a little church, a little ministry cannot do the job. It requires massive amount of effort to preach Christ to people. There are many people, they're dying and going to hell. They are suffering. They are being tormented by demons. As Christians, we should be happy if someone is proclaiming the truth versus getting jealous and get into this them and us mentality. That is a spirit of division that is not of God. So friend, at the very least, we should lift up the various churches that are preaching the truth and pray for them, because that is God's will for the body of believers. And you know something else? When we all die and go to heaven, there is no church. It's just a body of believers, true followers of Jesus Christ. In heaven, there are no denominations. There are no Catholics there, Protestants there, Baptists there. There's nothing like that. We are all sons of God. So have that attitude towards your fellow Christians, okay? Awesome. So I'm going to end this session here, and I will pick this up next time in verse 51, because we have covered a lot of material, and I want for you to meditate on what we have covered today. So the key principle and application here is that of humility and service to God, okay? And having a childlike faith and praying and encouraging your fellow brethren in Christ to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So I want to leave you with this thought. Never, never become jealous or envious of somebody else's ministry. If you're experiencing such thoughts, just call upon God to help you to overcome that. Because each of us has a unique role to play in the body of Christ. Okay, each of us is called to a unique place and at a unique time for service. So rather than getting jealous or envious of somebody else's ministry, you should focus that energy on figuring out what God is calling you to do. Because each of us has a role to play. So that is the attitude of humility and of service that God wants us to embrace as Christians. I hope you receive this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit that is available to embolden us to live and practice humility and to be able to enable us to serve you. Father, I thank you for all the listeners today. I just pray that you are using my words that I have proclaimed here to speak into their hearts, and that you are meeting each of them at their unique places of needs. For that, I thank you. And I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy and for your grace on our lives. I thank you that all those who have listened to me today, they are walking away from this session being encouraged and emboldened to step out in faith and preach Christ to others. I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all those who agree say, amen. Friend, God loves you. Listen to the announcer who will tell you now how you can support this ministry. God loves you.
Friend, as some of you already know, this program is financially supported 100% by love gifts from listeners like yourself. So please, would you help us with a donation so that we can produce more programs and bless others? We need your financial support. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanya Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's I-N-F-O at drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all of your donations are 100% tax-deductible, as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.